Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and a very good morning to all. And I welcome the delegation back to the second part of our constructive dialogue. My first questions today concern issue 13 with respect to conditions of detention facilities. We're aware that some detainees and prisoners in Suriname have faced cruel and inhuman treatment. Victims and families are often silenced by the authorities, we understand, and are willing to complain and are unwilling to complain or have their complaints dismissed. We also know about the case of Mr. Rasamuj, who for almost 2 years was summarily detained without counsel, court access, or proper medical care. In 2018, a local university surveyed 500 inmates from prison and police stations. Nearly half of the respondents reported experiencing physical violence after arrest to compel testimony. 70% witnessed beatings by inmates, prison guards, and police, and 86% of inmates surveyed felt unsafe in prisons. This is a concerning trend, given the international standards, such as the Mandela rules, indicate that state parties are expected to guarantee the safety and security of all individuals in detention. Please tell us of the measures that Suriname is taking to prevent and prohibit the inhumane treatment of prisoners, persons held in detention. Around 40% of the detainees in Suriname who felt ill did not receive medical care. Among those who had access to medical care, nearly half reported that the care they received was poor. This condition contravenes the Mandela rules, which state that prisoners should receive prompt medical attention for urgent cases. We have reports of shortcomings in the performance of the police unit responsible for overseeing conditions in detention facilities. What reforms are being planned to prevent and redress these violations? We understand that arrested persons and convicted persons are housed in the same facility, which is not in line with the covenant, which mandates the separation of accused persons from convicted individuals, except under exceptional circumstances. The state party itself has noted challenges in providing separate prison facilities for women and minors. What measures is Suriname taking to ensure separate prison facilities for women and for minors? Several detention centers in Paramaribo, which accommodate a high number of detainees, underwent partial renovation in 2019. Please tell us whether detainees are separated from convicted persons in the renovated institutions. I will now move on to issue 14 concerning the independent monitoring system and COVID-19 measures at detention facilities. Suriname permits monitoring visits to detention facilities by independent human rights observers. With the establishment of the National Human Rights Institute in 2022, Suriname introduced measures to monitor detention facilities through regular and unannounced visits, a welcome development. What steps is the government taking now to explicitly mandate independent national and international human rights observers, including the National Human Rights Institute, to conduct unannounced and regular visits to detention facilities? Detained persons and prisoners in Suriname face significant challenges during the COVID-19 pandemic. prison crowding and shortages of water and cleaning supplies in detention facilities exacerbated unsanitary conditions and the spread of COVID-19. In response, the authorities restricted visitation rights, only allowing visitors to drop off essentials while providing minimal support for inmate communication with families and clergy. What measures is Suriname taking to establish hygienic sanitary conditions and to prevent the spread of communicable diseases like COVID-19 in detention facilities? What training and support for prison staff to handle public health crises within detention facilities is being provided? Those would be my questions this morning. I hope that they were clear and self-explanatory, and I look forward to the delegation's response.